You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
You are listening to the
Remember when we did a podcast?
Show. This is episode 226. Guests this week include, you know what? It's Star Wars Eve, so we packed this room.
It's Star Wars week.
Star Wars Eve.
But well, no, because that would mean it was Wednesday.
By the time you publish the show, it's going to be actually a day after Star Wars.
Yeah, probably the way it's been going lately.
But hey, we packed this room full of Star Wars geeks and aficionados. We have the king of all geeks and nerds and Star Wars guy, Dave Santia, speed painter, is going to be in the house.
I will challenge him for that title.
Oh, no, you two in the room together. It's going to be ugly. And then the good old boys from the Booking Pop Culture podcast. We got Rick Vivian, Jason Seifert in the house. Welcome, gentlemen. Also, mark your calendars.
Yeah, so if you're not interested in Star Wars, this is an episode you can probably just after the opening segment, just tune out.
but yeah, segment one is going to be all our happy hijinks.
Listen to the opening segment, listen to the break, listen to the sponsor for the second segment, and then tune out.
Then, right. You know what, Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit? Beyond the Sun?
Any of those right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the IT in the D Show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear? I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys! Ho!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now, buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Never has the end of that intro been more appropriate.
This is...
Except since last year.
Well, since last year and the year before. This is the one and only IT and the D Show, episode 226, hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob, the sales guy in the house, along with Dave the Geek.
Like, yeah, that's right. Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Exactly.
Got a problem? Come at me, bro.
Love it. Love it. Hashtag yes. Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker is in studio. Nuri decided to go with Dr. Hook to the Wings game, and we don't blame him. Weather is shit outside.
Yeah, exactly. He said he was going to try to make it here. We're like, yeah, dude, don't even bother. Just, yeah, it's snowing. People are dumb.
Right.
Move on. Yeah.
Do us a favor, though, real quick. Mark your calendars. December the 15th, that's this Friday, we're going to have an ugly Christmas sweater party over at Falling Down, and then Thursday.
Feels like we're doing stuff more there lately.
I don't know why. It's
weird.
Crazy. And then Thursday, we're going to see the granddaddy of them all. We'll be talking about that all day today.
Yeah.
Star Wars is coming out Thursday. If you haven't heard about it, get under from the rock that
get
you're
out
living under.
Underneath the rock you're on. Yeah.
Do us a favor. Find us at itandthed.com. Subscribe to us and everything social, and like us everywhere. Find podcasts are sold.
That is the most convoluted bullshit you have ever thrown at. But before we get rolling, here's the deal. Wi-Fi is something you don't really think about until you don't have it or it's not working properly. The video's buffering. There's Wi-Fi dead zones when you roam around the house. There's too many devices connecting and slowing everything down. With the holidays coming, there's always more people connecting through your home, through their devices, all fighting for Wi-Fi. But when was the last time you upgraded your Wi-Fi at home? So if you want better Wi-Fi everywhere, check out an award-winning Orbi Wi-Fi system from Netgear. Orbi is the simplest and smartest way to get super strong, fast Wi-Fi in every corner of your home. One Wi-Fi network that's easy to install. You can set it up in minutes, and then you and the whole family will be enjoying faster and more reliable whole home Wi-Fi from your basement to your backyard. So what are you waiting for? Here's what you do. Change your Wi-Fi world and get an Orbi, that's O-R-B-I, Wi-Fi system from Netgear for better Wi-Fi everywhere. Just visit netgear.com/Orbi. That's netgear.com/ORBI.
Orbi!
Orbi!
I can't hear that. Not do that. The second hour of the show, we're going to be all Star Wars. So that's obviously the big topic. So we're going to push that all to the side, and we're going to dive into all the weird stuff going on. And this couldn't be more true. An ex-Facebook exec basically came out, publicly spoke that Facebook is
Social media.
Social media, but Facebook and social media is ripping society apart limb by limb.
Oh, it absolutely is.
By limb.
What was that? I was busy posting to Twitter.
No, dude, we've talked about this. I mean, it's the social media nonsense that goes on. Like, before we even dive into topics, let's handle some business. So we had our fundraiser for the Urban Benedictine Society and Operation Kid Equip last Thursday night. It went phenomenally well. Life was good. We had Kevin Wilson out, who sang, did a great job. We had the Man Cave Happy Hour guys out, who had a blast and entertained the crowd. More importantly, a lot of toys showed up and a huge amount of cash showed up, which was really, really cool to see. And we do still have the event link the link. You can still donate out through PayPal. You absolutely should. They're still taking donations for this through the end of the year. It is just a matter of $33 a day to help women and children in at-risk situations have a safe place for the night. So for the love of God, do that. It's $33. Like, that's our usual first round whenever we go somewhere for drinks. So do it. Make it happen. And then you mentioned Friday, the ugly Christmas sweater party at Falling Down. And I think life's good.
Life is good.
It is.
So back to Facebook ruining our lives. Facebook.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this. I mean, it's, you know, people don't know how to have conversations with each other anymore. It's, you know, post this, like that, you know, flame war here, flame war there. This is racist. That isn't racist. You jump to conclusions, Matt, as far as the eye can see.
Well, not only that, I mean, they're talking about, I mean, this guy gave a specific example of like fake news spreading or like hoaxes being spread, where like seven people got murdered for this hoax, and like things that are going on with the election, and like basically you got bots right now and you don't know what's real and what's not. And people, you know, you see all the, I don't know what, you know, we talk about this, like, hey, Steve Martin died. We're like, wait a minute. No, he didn't. But like, there's an article.
Or even worse, so-and-so died. Yeah, 5 years ago.
Right. No, but it's always like to like apple.news.
Yeah.
Like RU or whatever.
And yeah, it's
like,
or breakingnews-abc.com or, right. or something weird. Yeah.
Right. But like whatever they get them clicks, right? Yeah. It's all become a game of, oh my God. Like,
yeah, forget Game of Thrones. It's Game of Clicks.
No, we I mean, we had a friend today that.
That would be an amazing game of clicks. Oh.
But we had a friend today
South
that.
South Park, where are you?
That
Game of Clicks. Make
posted something very stupid. In his eyes, it wasn't stupid, but in ours, it was. It went viral. And then basically you called him out on it, said he was stupid, and he goes, yeah, dude, but it went viral. So he didn't care about the content.
Uh-huh.
He just cared that it went, like, literally went viral.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's where we become as a society. And Facebook has said this in the past.
And
where
I feel like at least, let's see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So a good, at least 58% of the people in this room, it was cheap heat. Is what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter what noise they're making as long as they're making noise.
Yeah. Yep. Wrestling term. Cheap. Yeah. They were making noise. But I don't even know what I was getting at. Facebook was designed for the dopamine level.
Well, not only that,
when
you get
a like clicked.
Yeah, there's that and the development of the echo chamber. Like, you know, so the more you interact with certain kinds of stories and the more you like certain kinds of stories and that sort of stuff, it starts showing you more of that. And that's what puts you into an echo chamber where eventually you only see things that agree with your mindset. That's a problem.
Well, not only that, there's the people that complain about a certain president that is in the White House like today. Every day.
The Trump shaker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stopped following him. And it becomes like, then you talk about echo chamber. Now I'm kind of like making my Facebook experience like Reddit, where I'm subscribing and unsubscribing to topics that only pertain to me.
Right.
Right. And that's, it's bad. Like in the grand scheme of things, like it's fine for adults, right? When you're in your 40s, you kind of have your mind made up about stuff, but for like budding minds for 13 to 17 year olds that really don't know the world yet, and then you create these echo chambers, yeah, uh-huh. you're in for a bad
it's
adulthood.
A problem.
Right.
Candidly, honestly, the story I want to make sure that we hit, probably because it has the most impact on stuff we actually give a shit about. So there's been a lawsuit brewing that's made its way through the courts, San Diego Comic-Con versus Salt Lake City Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con has basically claimed that they own the term Comic-Con. They actually won a case that said they own Comic-Con.
So do they own Comic Space Con or yes. Comic Hyphen Con or all derivatives
thereof. So but like, the good part about this story is, yes, the jury said that they were in the right. The bad part of the story is that, yeah, the jury said they were in the right. The good part of the story is that they were seeking like $12 million in damages. They were awarded $20,000 in damages because they said it wasn't intentional. My issue – and they said they're Salt Lake City Comic Con is going to appeal, which is good. And they said basically all the other Comic Cons throughout the country, if not in the world, are the ones funding their appeal for this because it does. It has a far-reaching impact. Motor City Comic Con, we go to every year.
There's 1,000 of them.
Well, and not only that, there are plenty that predated San Diego. I mean, like, you know, we know the story. I mean, like, so, you know, it started, you know, Motor City Fanfare or Detroit Fanfare was the con that started it, and then Sheldor moved out to San Diego and started San Diego Comic-Con, and that's great, but 20 years before that happened, there were Comic-Cons named Comic-Con happening in England, happening in, you know, on the East Coast, happening, you know, in Washington State. They were around. It was a thing. It was a commonly accepted short form of comic book convention. The problem is that someone at the patent office was retarded and let a trademark application for Comic-Con slipped through that SDCC filed, and so now they can stand on it. So that's basically what Salt Lake City is doing is, okay, well, let's have that revoked because it is a generic common use term.
So I saw some people commenting on articles about this saying that they thought it was one company that was organizing Comic-Cons all over the country with various city names.
And right.
No, I mean, that's not how that works.
There's well, one
so, individual.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing yeah. is, okay, well, yeah, so you can own San Diego Comic-Con, good for you, but you don't own Comic-Con. I mean, like, think back to the Intel days. You know, Intel was the, you know, I guess to put a geek spin on it, you know, the 286, 386, 486, that was their thing, their moniker, their brand. When they went to file a trademark patent for 586, they got slapped down and said, nope, it's an industry generic term. You may not file for that. That's why the word Pentium came into existence. Because that was a word they made up that they could trademark for the 586 brand.
It's all about the Pentiums, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember working at Egghead Software back in those days, and the customers that would come in and just mutilate the word Pentium. They wanted a computer with the new Pendulum processor. they could not say Pentium.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live every once in a while does something really funny where they make the Amazon Alexa Silver, the Amazon Echo Silver for old people?
Oh, God.
And it was basically a bunch of old people that wouldn't say Alexa. It would be like, Alicia. And he's like, why won't this damn thing answer me?
Exactly.
So basically this thing answers to like 73 different variations of Alexa. But hey, you know, when you were a kid or, you know, we reflect right now on like Star Wars and like, oh man, I used to have all the guns and then my mom threw it away because she thought it was garbage. Or like I used to have this and threw it away. Imagine.
Oh, that, being this developer in Newport?
Yeah. That
this poor bastard.
That basically threw away or thinks he threw away a hard drive that contains about $80 million worth
64.
Of.
64. Oh, no.
No, that's the hackers.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah, so it is. It's $85 million
worth of Bitcoin.
Worth of Bitcoin.
So now
he thinks is sitting in a landfill somewhere.
So basically, this has turned into the.
I'll help him dig if he splits it with me.
Well, right. So this is the Atari.
It's Atari, yeah,
ET cartridge.
Right. Yeah. So it's like what landfill is this in? And then, but like, how many hard drives could possibly be in this landfill? Like, how much – if you had a hard drive and you knew it had $80 million in Bitcoin.
Well, so, I mean, it's like, you know, basically –
how much of the next 5 years of your life would you invest in getting this
It's thing? An old, 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 old computer. Like, and not everybody is like me that just basically turns a computer off and puts it in the storage room so that it's there forever. You know, so it was – I think he said he dropped it in like either 2006 or 2007. And at the time, Bitcoin was still pennies. Like it was still, you know, or maybe, you know, a couple bucks. It wasn't anywhere near where it was, you know, where it is today. But so as he's done the math and he's like, oh, shit, I should find that.
Well, what he said is
because the Bitcoin is currently worth now $16,000. I mean, $15,000. I mean, $19,000.
I mean, right.
$12,000. I mean, no, $40,000. Yeah. But what he basically said is after I stopped mining, the laptop he used was broken into parts and sold on eBay. But he kept the hard drive in a drawer at home knowing it contained his Bitcoin private
keys. His private key, yeah.
Right. So if it became valuable one day, he would have it. And then, you know, it was mistakenly thrown out and oh shit, said the guy.
Oops. Which laughably was just an episode of Big Bang Theory where there was they had Bitcoin stored on a flash drive and Sheldon was trying to teach him a lesson and he was like, oh, it's on the thumb drive that's on your keychain that's been in your pocket this entire time. And Leonard was like, you ass, I lost that keychain like 8 years ago.
Well, and that's the weird thing about Bitcoin. I mean, you look at the, you know, speaking of the 64 million that you just mentioned, was it NiceHash?
Yep.
Just
64 million. 64 just disappeared.
Just poof, went to hackers. And
why aren't people taking Bitcoin seriously?
Right. That's the. But then again, though, what? So let's say, answer me this, Mr. Geek. I go and hack 64 million in Bitcoin because I'm a hacker. What can I do with – I can't – wouldn't it be a little suspicious that I'm selling – obviously, I'm not going to sell $64 million on open trade right now.
No.
But if I – you know, all of a sudden, it's million, not like the, million,
I mean,
million.
It, yeah, I mean, yeah, you
like,
have –
what can you do with it?
Whatever the hell you want. I mean, so like, yeah, I mean, you've got – you know, yeah, there's the trail of Bitcoin transactions and you've got the transaction chain and all that stuff. But it's not like they carry serial numbers. I mean, it's not like – you know, you hear that, oh, well, you know, the $100 bills that were stolen during the D.B. Cooper, you know, theft in the 1920s are still on the FBI watch list. And if they ever surface, they'll know that it was those $100 bills. It doesn't really work that way.
Right. But it's kind of like, you know, if you rob a, you know, an armored truck, don't go buy a Cadillac the next day.
Well, yeah. let the heat cool off a little bit and then, yeah. Right.
But if I got $64 million sitting in this, like, crypto locker – be like, I want to buy some stuff.
Like, well, and you can.
There was a Bitcoin ATM at the Buscemi's on Holland Van Dyke. And I'm just sitting there going like, I don't see anybody using it. And I can't imagine anybody but like Mike Dennis using it. But like, who's using it? Who's using it?
There are.
What are you taking out of it?
What was it? I think it was a black market on Vice that had the whole thing about, you know, there are people that like basically hang out on the street corners of New York as human Bitcoin exchanges. Like, you know, you walk up, you hand them cash. They like do whatever portion of a transaction that is. They take their cut off the top and then zoop, then they give you Bitcoin. And
so it's like a food stamp racket for
it's virtual currency. I mean, and the weird thing is, and this is why, you know, because it's not regulated, because it's not, you know, whatever else. It's like any other collectible. It's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it.
Right.
That's the thing.
That's the best thing I read on LinkedIn today. I was going to take credit for it, but I can't. I got to give it up. He says, that's the two things I hate most about Bitcoin. One, that I don't get it. And two, that I didn't get any of it.
it's a thing.
It couldn't be more true. But I got to give kudos to – we've got our share of cease and desists over the years, maybe a few.
We have.
And yes. I got to give it up to our friends over at InBev, Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch,
God
whatever.
God bless Budweiser for how they actually did this. I give them all the credit in the world for taking what could have been a phenomenally dick move and making it funny and cool and palatable.
But speaking of things that I don't get, the whole dilly-dilly thing has just completely went over my head.
I
don't get
like
it.
Like the commercials are funny, but I think I've seen it once because I don't usually watch – if I watch a commercial, it's by accident.
They're
I'm
funny?
Not paying attention.
They're funny?
They kind of are.
Like, what's up? That was funny. Like, this isn't dilly-dilly.
Don't be an old guy.
Stop. I totally went old guy.
In my day.
What's up?
The frogs were hilarious, but dilly-dilly, I don't understand.
The frogs suck.
These damn kids today with their dilly-dilly.
But Budweiser, like, so some the story goes there was a home brewer. Because if you go to a craft beer bar these days, like any beer you ever think you can imagine to name something has already been named.
That's right. Every time you think you're hilarious and come up with like nine new names for beers or whatever.
It's been done. So these guys made Dilly Dilly, whatever their beer was called, something Dilly Dilly.
It was something Dilly Dilly IPA.
Yeah. And so Budweiser basically hired like an old-timey like
medieval like town crier.
Like a scribe and basically unrolled like a paper.
Yeah,
you know,
hear ye, right? Friends of, you know, the brewery.
And read the cease and desist.
Yes, it was worded really well. I mean, it was, you know, basically let's make sure that this is a one-time limited batch. Should there be future batches, there will be, you know, further transgressions from the king, possibly followed up by bringing the barristers into the equation. So I mean, it was like they did a really funny job.
But that's PR gold for the brewer.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Oh my God, you just got free like national exposure.
And yet we can't get Mark to make I Am Your Lager.
Don't people. The three people that listen to the show are going to name Luke. I Am Your Lager, even though he never said no.
The Carbonite Kolsch. Yeah.
No, we should make instead of Luke, we should make it no. I Am Your Lager.
Right.
The accurate
Bob, they're all in episode 69. If anybody cares to go back,
no,
they're all in episode 69.
I will not listen to that episode.
They are all in episode 69.
Ever.
That's where they are.
Ever.
All of them that we can.
No,
up with.
You listen to it. I'm not listening to it. Speaking of our friends over at the Facebooks, it's kind of funny how when everybody says they're evil and they're taking over, but everybody uses them every day, Business Insider came up with the 50 best places to work in the U.S.
Yeah.
And who's number one? Our friends, Mr. Zuckerberg, and our friends at Facebook. And to me, it's just – again, it's like this is how democracy dies with thunderous applause. It seems like the one thing that's ripping us apart is the thing we can't get enough of, right? And I fell hook, line, and sinker, dude. You know this. What did I say about the brewery? When can I go Facebook official?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I'm a grown man, and I cared more about going Facebook official than telling my wife.
You like, really did.
I totally did. No, I admit it. Self-admitted. I'm admitting to the three people that listen. And it just – I don't – like we're all hooked in. We're bought in. We're like – we're in.
Because look at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing.
I got the likes. I got the dopamine rush, man. I got the
– It is.
You know.
I guess getting geeky for just a sec, I do love the fact that Microsoft had to release an emergency patch
for a vulnerability in their malware protection engine.
Which I don't even get.
That's pretty no, – so the thing that protects you against malware had – a vulnerability in it that was exploitable.
So they had to patch the thing that patches the patch. So Microsoft, it hurts.
So yes, if you it could not be any more Microsoft. Yeah, that was the thing. Let's see.
Are we going to the Flat Earth conference later?
Oh, I love the fact that the headline read: "People from all around the world went to the Flat Earth conference in Raleigh, North Carolina." I think that was amazing. And that was from the conference organizers.
What?
The people who organized the Flat Earth Conference said people came there from all around the world. I want a dramatic pause there for a moment.
Even better, from around the globe.
People from all around the globe came to the Flat Earth.
Can someone please explain to me? They have to have an end game because this isn't like
– Buy my book.
It's not cute anymore.
Is it buy my book? Yes.
Right.
It's that like they're hoping to be the next generation of what's his name? Sekulis. That's a crazy hair alien guy on History Channel all the time.
The aliens guy?
Yeah. Because aliens. Like they're hoping to be that guy.
But I – like – it makes no sense. Like, I saw their map. Did you ever see like what Flat Earth map looks like?
And if the Earth was flat, cats would have pushed everything off the edge by now. We know this.
Well, how does the sun work? Like, can they explain to me how the sun works?
Yeah, the Earth is the center of the universe, and the sun rotates around.
And so it just goes. But
then it
around.
Goes under.
No, it just goes around.
Around the top.
Yeah.
Then time zones go left to right.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But time is a man-made construct. That doesn't mean that it's
But the sun rises in Australia first, technically. It's New Year's Eve.
Well, because it goes –
Yeah, because it's over on that side.
Yeah, it's around.
It's on the left side first, and then it comes around to the right.
It's like a 60-watt light bulb, and they just flick it on and off.
Flat earthers know that Mars is round because
– I heard that.
It's been photographed.
Yeah.
But like what do they think the moon is?
Cheese.
Yeah.
I want to go to one of these things.
I wish one would be out here. I truly, truly wish one would happen because I feel like that would be, dude, I would buy a booth just for us to be there all day openly.
Because I get the whole like we didn't.
I would bring all the flasks, all of the bottles.
Mm. Like the moon landing is fake actually makes sense. Like this doesn't make sense.
But it does. No.
It totally makes sense.
It's equally as nonsensical.
No, it's not nonsensical. It does.
There are like 9,000 different ways.
Stanley Kubrick like did it all.
Are you a member of the Facebook group Flat Earth Christians of Michigan?
No, I totally need to.
Wait, that's really a group?
Just a reading.
Yes, it is.
Oh, we'll be infiltrated.
What is it? Like they need to slice it up another pie slice and make it Christian.
It's a niche within a niche.
You can't just be a flat earther. You gotta believe in Christianity. All right, we're gonna cut a break.
Yeah, feels like we should.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be back with Dave Santia, Jason Seifert, Rick Vivian.
Who walked in here dressed as effing Han Solo, by the way.
Yeah, Han Solo vest is on.
although he's kind of like mixed genre because I almost want to go steampunk with the hat.
But while looking very Peter Mayhew.
Then debating why he didn't wear his Luke Skywalker Bespin jacket that he owns two of. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to have a fun conversation talking about the next Star Wars installment. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen, Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. Segment 2, episode 226 of the Star Wars Eve episode of the IT and the D show.
Anybody who's listening live, I'm so sorry for Dave's music choices.
Oh, why? Good.
Get out.
He did good. We're hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy here with Dave the Geek. Nuri the F&G's at the Wings game with Dr. Hook, Jeremiah from Daily Detroit, and that's fine. They can have fun. It's snowing like a mother out there. But we got Randy. I do the Twitter's Walker in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com. There you can subscribe to us on all the socials and like us everywhere fine podcasts. I do it on purpose now because you don't like it. But hey, this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Zelle. Zelle is a new way to send money to your friends and family from a banking app. Listen, if you owe your buddy $20 and you don't have any cash in your wallet, nobody does, and you want going to the ATM kind of sucks. Like, then you got to pay $3.
Yeah, yeah. I'll catch you next time, and then you never catch me next time.
And checks is kind of like, hey, I'll fax it to you.
Right.
You know, come on. But hey, if you have a Zelle app,
I shall send you the coin of the realm via carrier pigeon.
Right, exactly. You take gold, anyway. But with Zelle, once you're enrolled, the money moves right between bank accounts, typically arrives in minutes. Pay, you know, half of your dad's gift with your brother, request half the Christmas tree you bought with your roommate, pay your personal trainer you hired after Thanksgiving with ease. All thanks to Zelle. It's so easy to use.
Even a Bob
can do it. And it works with almost anyone with a bank account in the U.S. And don't worry, it is safe and backed by the major banks. I know Dave gets notifications.
Just like I said, every time I hit an ATM for Bank of America, wham, there's a Zelle ad right in front of me. Please use,
if it's backed by a bank, it's good.
Yeah.
But hey, do us a favor. Go to ZellePay.com and learn more. That's ZellePay, ZelePay.com. This is how money moves now.
It is?
Yeah. Who carries cash anymore? I know I don't.
Yeah, hardly ever.
But hey, if you missed the very first intro, we are luckily –
you are now allowed to tune out if you don't like Star Wars.
But no, Star Wars is this Thursday, and we're lucky enough to be joined by old friend Dave Santia, who I consider one of the top Star Wars geeks in town. And you too, Dave. You're in that scenario.
It's okay.
Ooh, yeah. And then we have the team behind the Booking Pop Culture podcast. We got Jay Seifert, Rick Vivian, kind of doing a home at home. We were allowed to come on their podcast last year and talk about Rogue One. So we figured we'd return the favor and have them come back and we'll talk about this one.
Thank you.
I've got Wikipedia pulled up too to answer all of your obscure questions.
Oh boy.
On the tip of your tongue,
I think what you've missed is you don't need you have Wikipedia here.
Yeah, right. Every so often, you know, you'll have it's on the tip of my tongue, and I'll just help you get there.
So let me
have a backup.
Let me start things off with the common one. I was talking to Rick during the break, and I said, I remember when Seven came out and that first trailer, and we were glued to our computers, phones, TVs, whatever it was. Breaking down frame by frame, and oh my God, look at the destroyer and the sand.
Take a step before that. The episode one trailers hit. That was back when I was still deep in running Echo Station. That first trailer for the first movie in 16 years.
Yeah, it took me a week to download that trailer.
Our servers were so. I firmly remember sending out, like, I sent it out to all the Star Wars sites, for the love of God. Do not mirror the trailer because I will send you the bill for bandwidth.
Right.
and that's what happened.
But my point was we've been glued to these trailers, and is this the first Star Wars? I mean, Rogue One maybe a little bit, but like we're kind of walking into this almost cold. Is it me? Or is like, okay, yeah, I saw the trailer, whatever.
No,
I watched it once, like, but whatever.
I think they're getting smarter about it. Like, and again, stepping back to episode one, I still say the dumbest thing they did with that was showing Maul's double-sided double-sided blader in their double-sided blade in the in the trailer was dumb. Like the factor. If you would have been in the theater and seen that for the first time, that was amazing. You know, but you know, with Seven, I think they felt like they needed to put a little bit more in it because, okay, you know, here's Disney coming in and doing their thing. Yeah, we're still going to be cool. You're still going to like us. It's okay. Rogue One was the first one-off. And so, hey, you're still going to like this. It's going to be okay. Now, eight, it's like, all right, the first hit was free, kid. Now we really got you.
No, but seven was that, dude, come on. Chewie, we're home, dude. There wasn't a guy that didn't have a tear in his eye that, right?
I didn't have it. Tear.
Yeah, you did.
I might have had a raging nerd bone.
Fine. Choose your battle. But no, this is the one where, I'm walking in cold. I'm trying not to read all the crap Like all the conspiracy. And now Dave and I had a talk during the fantasy football, and he's like, hey, who's Ray's parent? Who's, you know?
Lando and Leia.
No, hey, it's Finn, not
Han,
Ray.
Han Solo. Finn, yeah. Sorry.
No, but, you know, there's so many conspiracies. I mean, where do you start? Where do you start?
Well, real quick, we were talking about the trailers, and I feel like every one of these trailers that we're seeing, they are splicing things together to tell a different story in these trailers. Mm-hmm. We're all hooked.
Diversion.
To come in thinking something different, and then mm-hmm. our minds are going to be completely blown.
Yeah, it's a diversionary tactic.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we know nothing about the plot for this next movie. No. We didn't know anything about the plot for episode 7.
Well, no. We know at some point Leia dies. Because has to.
We don't really know that.
Could be the next one.
They alluded to it heavily in the trailer.
They did allude to it, but we don't know if she dies or not. I mean, you know, we know that she was supposed to have a heavy role in the next movie,
episode 9. Yeah.
And they had already finished filming her scenes for episode 8. So what do they do? If she dies in this one, what do? Go back and reshot a few things? I mean, I know that they had to rewrite episode 9 back in January or whatever, February, when they, you know, when they said they were rewriting it. But we don't know. We don't know if she dies in episode 8 or not.
Yeah, true.
Well, like the unanswered questions, like, yeah, what's Rey's lineage? And how can Finn not die in 3 seconds from a Sith Lord or a semi Sith Lord? He's got to finish his training.
The emo Sith Lord.
Emo, right.
Yeah. Emo Ren, yeah.
And who is Snoke?
And who the hell is Snoke?
Right. Right. Yeah.
And if you read the crap on, you know, the Facebook, the viral or the fake news stuff. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you've heard everything from Mace Windu.
It's ridiculous.
If you remember before Force Awakens, there was a huge thing that Luke Skywalker was Kylo Ren.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought that was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, but it was out there.
It was out there, yeah. But, you know, here's what I know about Star Wars theories. Not a single one has ever came true.
No.
Not a single one. Ever since I remember hearing theories way back in 1982, 83, in regards to Return of the Jedi, none of them ever came true.
See, I've been hit with some that have panned out.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
We've talked about that. Like, I may or may not, hypothetically speaking, have had the episodes 1, 2, and 3 scripts in my possession before the movies hit, and that's what they were.
Wait. What's this? You had the scripts in your possession before the movies came out.
Yes.
May or may not, hypothetically
speaking. Okay. And excerpts therefrom leading up to that. And it turned out to be the real deal.
Oh, okay. So you had the theories before.
Oh, yeah.
Finding out.
Here's how much, like, how psychotic I was at the time. I didn't open them. I forwarded them to Jeff and said, hey, man, here's what I'm getting. I'm not reading this.
Now, wait.
You hold on to these and tell me if it's true or not. And then we'd go to the midnight movies and he's like, dude, that was dead on.
Wait, did you say for episode 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does that really count? We already knew the story anyways. I mean, before the trilogy even came out, we knew.
No, but there were a lot of little leaks that came out for those. Right. I feel like Disney, or even maybe Lucasfilm for that matter, learned from what the internet could possess or pull from, you know, those scripts.
Jar Jar was supposed to be Dooku, but they had to rewrite
the reaction,
But the reaction from the crowd. So, you know.
Yeah, Bob was really mad when Kylo Ren's mask came off and it wasn't Jar Jar.
I was.
You know what, though? When I heard about that, too, about how Jar Jar was supposed to be like the Sith that was controlling everything or whatever, I would have, as much as I don't really care much for that character, I still would have liked to have seen that story.
Yeah.
I think a big reason why a lot of people didn't like Jar Jar is probably because of the way how he talked. You know, I mean, it was sometimes, you know, when you first watch
it, you hate the Viceroy.
What's that?
The same reason you hate the Viceroy.
Oh, the Nemoidians? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but come on. Hawkman from Flash Gordon was the leader of the Gungans. That's why I like the Gungans.
True. Brian Blessed. Yeah.
Brian Blessed. Yeah. Misa thinks. Yeah, exactly. I told her, I'm like, sweet. If there was no Jar Jar, there'd be no Hawkman doing the voice of the leader of the Gungans.
No, yeah. I agree with the voice part. It's
It was a poor choice all around.
Right. I mean, I didn't mind the fact that he was CGI or what he looked like or anything like that. It was just when I first saw episode one, the first time, I'm like, what did he just say? Okay, what's he saying here? Okay, you know, I mean, like, it wasn't broken English.
That's what's going to sell. That's your toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't the voice your Ewok 2.0?
Wasn't the voice Bill Cosby himself when he goes to the dentist and gets the Novocaine shot?
Right.
He's like,
the Boba
Fat Albert. Fat Albert. Yeah, that's the voice. That's what I heard when Jar Jar talked.
Yeah, even when I first saw the trailer, I was like, I don't know about this this character here. Okay.
Well, now it's a porg. No, it's a cute little porg. Well,
that all have surprise sex doll face.
Oh, no.
Gross.
They all do. Now, yes, I was going to say, so getting back to this movie, I mean, honestly, the thing I think we're all, or at least the hardcore fans are hoping that they get into a little bit is, all right, well, where's Luke been? Like, you know, you're talking about all this time and, you know, are they going to hang on to any of the EU? You know, where...
What's he been? No, I want to know what's he been eating. He's on that island. There's no farm or no crops.
Porgs.
Or my little
like chicken.
Or no, or the little orange Yoda lady been sending him like care packs.
Oh, Moss. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was there. He was in exile.
Yeah. Well, was he in exile? Was he in self-imposed exile? Is it going to be like the expanded universe where after Return of the Jedi, he started to bring back the Jedi Academy and then
Luke
and Leia's kid turned?
No, that's what I read was these training younglings, and that was where Kylo Ren became bad, and he got so upset that he let him go bad that he went in exile.
Well, but that was part of the expanded universe where it was, you know, Luke and Leia had the twins, Jason and Jaina.
You're talking about like this. Okay.
The books. Yeah. You know, and then he brought the Jedi Academy back and all that stuff, and Anakin turned to the dark side, and that's what made him go, screw this noise. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, I mean, it was self-exile, I would think. I mean, didn't Han say that in the last movie?
Said he hadn't seen him in a long time.
I thought he said that he
He pulled himself out, so to speak, because he felt that he himself was a threat to the galaxy, a threat to the universe,
right.
So that he needed to be in exile. And then, as you know, we know of the Force, that something will come to him at some point. Mm-hmm. That's how Seven ended, obviously.
The only thing I don't understand is why do these Jedi keep on going into exile? You got Yoda, Obi-Wan was looking after Luke. I get it. You got Luke went into exile.
Yeah, everything's all screwed up. I got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I've messed this up really bad.
That's right. Yeah. Good luck, guys. I'm out. Yeah. Peace.
I better leave.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can understand
Yoda. Tip your bartender.
I can understand Yoda probably went into hiding. Now, okay, in the real world, in real life, Yoda was not created until after A New Hope was done.
Oh, okay.
They killed off Obi-Wan.
Because they killed off, yeah.
Well, and then
they
didn't Lucas know that, was like, okay, I got to create someone else now because someone's got to, you know, they didn't know if they were going to have a sequel or not.
Right. What's the deal with Obi-Wan, though? 18 years, he doesn't remember owning a droid.
He never owned
or remember his name.
Do this again?
Or remembering his name.
Kayfabe, bro.
Babe,
you want to handle this? I know you got to know the answer.
I know, well, technically, he never owned the droid.
He never owned
the
droid. But he knows what the damn droid is.
Dude, honestly, you want to get technical and snarky about shit? Darth Vader doesn't remember that he built C-3PO?
Well, I mean.
No!
I'm sure you've seen the answer to this all over the internet.
I mean, I don't argue about it much, so I don't. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Well, the thing is that droids in the Star Wars universe are like appliances, you know.
I remember my first toaster.
You do?
No.
Really? Okay. You remember your first refrigerator?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, but also—
My fridge didn't have a name, though.
However—
It didn't talk to me.
Well, but okay, but C-3PO is Ford.
Yeah, look at how many.
Protocol operations droid.
Look at how many protocol droids we see walking around in the movies. You know, all the other ones are silver. He's the only one that's gold. I get it, but you know, who knows? Maybe on some other planet, there's a whole bunch of gold ones. But the only reason why they're all the other ones are silver in the movies is to distinguish
so that we know. Yeah,
right. But in the novelization for A New Hope, Obi-Wan does say to R2, it's good to see you again.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he, you know, in the novelization, which, you know, whether it's canon or not, I don't know. In the novelization, he does recognize. He does recognize.
So that's what. That's kind of the gray area. Yes, the novels, the novelizations are still canon.
Yeah.
The EU is out.
Right. Okay, so the novelizations are still canon.
Yep.
Which brings me to another point about Obi-Wan. In Return of the Jedi, Obi-Wan says that Owen Lars is his brother.
Yep.
Oh.
What yeah. scene was that?
When Luke goes back to Dagobah and Yoda dies.
Okay.
And he's talking to – Luke's talking to
– Obi-Wan in the swamp. Obi-Wan.
Right.
Yeah. Obi-Wan's kind of explaining who Anakin Skywalker is. And
he says that he entrusted Luke in the hands of his brother Owen.
Oh.
Yeah. Which
– Shmi's kid? No, that's Anakin. Sorry.
No.
Luke's – Shmi's stepson.
Oh, yeah.
And if that is – We don't know. Well, it's not in the movies yet. The episode two, for some people, it seemed to negate that possibility that Owen and Obi-Wan are brothers, but it doesn't really. We don't know anything
about. No, you're right. Yeah, it
Obi-Wan's
doesn't
past. And if you know, I mentioned this as a joke in a Facebook Star Wars group that I'm in. It started off as a joke, I'm still kind of half joking about it, but. What if it is revealed that Obi-Wan and Owen were actually brothers and maybe Rey comes from that side of the family? And it would also force the line in Revenge of the Sith where Obi-Wan says to Anakin, "You are my brother, Anakin." It would kind of foreshadow the whole you know, because Anakin and Owen were stepbrothers, and if Owen and Obi-Wan are brothers, and that would make Anakin and
I just feel like the word brother and all of that is.
And then you're
very,
right back to Luke and Leia loosely. Making out.
Yeah,
it's
I think
Kentucky.
So too.
But
right.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said. Then you're right back to Luke and Leia making out, and it's also Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean that's far fetched. It's just some idea I came up with like a couple weeks ago.
And, sure, but do you feel that Rey is a Kenobi?
You know, I don't know.
What did you say at the fantasy football party where I made fun of you for an hour and a half? He said when Luke got his hand cut off that someone at the bottom of the sewer at the state, wherever they were in, found Luke's hand and then extracted DNA and then made Rey.
You would get into the Dark Empire comics and graphic novels where the clones came up and it would be Luke.
That Dark Empire series, I don't even want.
They're still pulling some from that. I mean, I believe they refer to it now as Star Wars Legend.
Yeah,
all of
Legends.
That was EU. But they're coming. Thrawn is supposed to be in Rebels, correct?
Yeah.
So they're going to be making him canon. I didn't mind the Thrawn trilogy series. I kind of like that.
Oh, I would love to see Zahn stuff made into movies. Yeah. I mean, those things were just
what turned me.
I don't know why he's not involved in these new movies.
What turned me off from the old expanded universe? I got turned off right away. It was the Dark Empire.
All the Death Stars?
Well, I read Dark Empire, the first six-part miniseries from Dark Horse. And when I read that, that pretty much undid everything that was done in Return of the Jedi. It brought back the Emperor. It brought back Boba Fett. A Skywalker became a bad guy.
Well, but it also answered some questions from earlier about the whole cloning technology and the Sparty cylinders and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it had its good touch, bad touch.
Right. See, upon reading that miniseries right there, that six-part series, that's when I
Bob just checked out.
When that came out, 92, I think?
Yeah.
After I read that, that's
yeah, because it was right after Heir to the Empire came out in 91. Right. That was 92, yep.
Right. And it was right after I read that was when I said to myself, you know what, this expanded universe, these novels and stuff, okay, this stuff can change eventually. That's when at that point is when I took the novels as officially licensed fan fiction.
See, but like back then, like, they weren't even talking about the special editions.
Yeah, that's all we had.
I first started hearing talk about the special editions like in 94, 95.
Well, but Heir to the Empire was 91. You know, at the time, there was nothing. Like, that's what basically brought Star Wars back from the dead.
Yeah. For the comic book geekdom, sure.
Well, Heir to the Empire were novels. Like Zahn stuff, Zahn stuff were all books. And then, right. And then, you know, Dark Empire, like I said, you know, yeah, Dark Empire, they tried with the graphic novelizations and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I think it was the books that really kind of caught with people.
Yeah, well, I think the books brought it back to the comic book, the geekdom, the comic book crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, like your average book reader probably didn't pick up Heir to the Empire.
Well, even Shadow of the Empire, the N64 game, sort of became a pseudo canon at the time.
Right. Well, they had the novel.
Oh, it was crossover with the novel. I mean, I did an interview with
the guy that wrote it. What a great game that was. Oh, my God.
What, the book or the.
No, the guy that wrote the book.
Oh, Steve Perry.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the lead singer, too.
Yeah, not O'Sherry. No, Don't Stop Believing. Yeah.
No.
Now, have you caught up with the turning back to actual canon right now? Have you kept up with the comics right now?
No, I have not. I think I might start because I know that they're trying to be in tune.
They
cleaned it up.
Yeah,
you know,
and they've sort of changed. The comics sort of led the way in leading from like dismissing the Midichlorian issue, which is not a terrible thing to do, and moving it towards the fact that you have Force and Sith artifacts that now can influence your sensitivity towards each, which is why Kylo Ren keeps Darth Vader's mask, and whenever he has times of doubt, when he's not feeling that he's feeling dark enough, he grasps the
in times of trouble,
the Darth Vader mask.
Comforts me.
That brings up something singing interesting. Everyone is all concerned about how Maz got the Skywalker lightsaber. I want to know how did Kylo get the Vader mask?
Right.
How did
bunch of Ewoks.
I mean,
who kept it? Who kept it up until he was born?
How did he find,
have you watched that Luke? Kept? Have you played Battlefront 2 yet on Xbox?
No, I haven't gone live yet. But
so
I
it starts. You're on Endor. And you're a special forces stormtrooper, and you look up, and the second Death Star explodes.
Right.
And now you're like, oh shit, now what? So that's how the story starts. And the Emperor is surviving as a digital face on on a droid.
That was kind of cool, but I was like, okay, but what's this, his last message or something? His last command, his last order?
Right.
You know, I mean, that was kind of cool but weird at the same time. But I liked it. You know.
No, but the story, like where it picked, was kind of a cool little part where.
Yeah, the only thing.
Hey, what are we doing now? And then, you know.
You know what I didn't like about that game, though, is.
The one now, though? That you
Battlefront 2, the one that came out about 2 weeks ago. I liked. When I bought it, I bought it for the single player campaign. Forget about playing online, man. You got these kids that
die in a second.
Yeah, that's it. Forget about that. It's not fun. So I bought it for, I was told that online was pretty cool. Maybe I'd give it a shot. I don't know. But I bought it for the single player campaign, primarily. I was kind of disappointed when I wanted to play a stormtrooper that stayed with the Empire. But in the beginning of the game, she defects and she joins the rebellion. I'm like, okay, we've done this storyline before already. But
I'm playing online multiplayer. You pretty much go 5 kills, 15 deaths. Pretty much that's all until you get to the better guns because it takes forever to get any decent weapons.
I just don't like those online games that are spray and pray. You know that you
can be like the sniper and kind of chill. You don't have to be the assault guy, so you get your choice.
Yeah, I know, but that's with every game. You're a sniper. What are you going to do? You're going to camp. Someone's going to find you.
You get that. Yeah.
What was the comic series just before Force Awakens that had Luke going for the Jedi tree, the Force tree? And it kind of explained how the Star Wars universe was perceived after the Emperor died. That was just hearsay. That was all propaganda. Mm-hmm. No, the Death Star wasn't blown up, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it was a 4 or 5 part series. I forget it, but what the title of it was. It's on the tip of my tongue. Mm-hmm. But it was Luke enlists this fighter pilot to go help him find these 2 Force trees that are in the middle of this battle zone. And so they go in and get the Force trees. He takes one to
somewhere. We don't know where yet. Well, they're about to find out.
I think we see it in this movie because I think that's where he's been having his temple.
Okay.
But the second one goes to the fighter pilot, which I believe is Poe's family.
Poe's mother.
Right. Yeah. That's why he's so force sensitive.
So it's, she plants it in their backyard.
basically.
Poe Shattered Dower. Empire.
Is, was there that it? Yeah. Okay.
Thank What's you. That? Told you you'd need Thank Wikipedia. You.
Yeah, what was he looking up?
Shattered Empire was a 4 or 5 part comic series. Oh, four. And that kind of explained, like, immediately after Jedi, Return of the Jedi, now that we have to be more specific, and what Luke did right after that. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's what was disappointing with this year. That one sort of directly felt like I was feeding into this movie,
yeah.
Whereas the 4-part series that they did this year, the Captain Phasma, was sort of cleaning up a mistake that they did with the character, in my opinion.
So Rogue Squadron?
Well, it was it was more that they it was more that they sort of rehabilitated Captain Phasma. She it was basically her going down and hunting down the one person that saw her give the shield deactivation codes to, and killing him. So therefore, nobody knows now that it was Captain Phasma that deactivated the shields and let the rebels in.
Why?
Well, because she's supposed to be some sort of badass. Yeah. And
that's
was
what I mean. Why?
Yeah. Well,
they punked her out like they punked out Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. You know, but she's coming back.
Well, and Jango Fett.
No, Jango Fett. Yeah.
He got
he dead. You know, he like, dead. Quickly. They didn't punk him out. Quickly. He dead. Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah. There's no questions there.
But, like, you know, one of the things, talking about gray area, they're, you know, the Last Jedi. So, like, the ones that read the books, like, are they going to be gray Jedis? Are they going to move from the light side to being kind of in the middle?
I mean, I
you know, it's out there.
There seems that there's clearly, or it seems like there's clearly, I should say, a change in what we feel or what we've been told the Force is all about, good and bad, light and dark. Mm-hmm. Now there's going to be this middle area that, It looks this way that where Luke exists, but then it seems as if Rey finds something in her quest, and is that Snoke? Is that something? Is that herself? Is that
What's the with Ren with the four people? I forgot what that's called.
Knights of Ren.
Knights of Ren.
Oh yeah.
Where he's one of the four. Where Rey had that flashback.
Yeah.
Where the flame, and then he's got the metal hand on R2. Right, and you see, like,
you
the
wonder
four.
If she was there or not, because we don't know her origin. Maybe she was there.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's going to be, this is like the first one in a long time where, like, no one knows what the hell's going on.
I always look at Force Awakens as, it had a lot of plot points or echoes of New Hope. But that was
a couple,
just a few.
So did, sort of Phantom Menace.
Yeah, but they're doing is just drawing the lapsed fans in, and now they've got this huge community again, and they're gonna change things on us.
You know what it was? I mean, the Phantom Menace pretty much told this close to the same story as A New Hope, just as people are saying about The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sorry. But the difference is back in 1999, the internet wasn't as prominent as it is now. We didn't have social media, not much for social media. We had message boards and that's about it. Now everyone's on Facebook, and everyone's expressing their opinions and the society's just going crazy.
I want the first person, I'm going to call it out now. I'm going to do something heinous to the first person that I know.
While we're sitting there at the 6 o'clock showing, just live Facebook posting. You're going to spoilers.
No, it sucks. No, not spoilers. No, I don't think anyone's going to post spoilers.
No, I don't think. I think people.
But the people that say it sucks.
Yeah.
Because they did it for Justice League. They did it for every movie.
Oh, yeah.
Every movie. Whatever. I mean, I have distaste for the prequels, but I don't hate them.
Right.
I mean,
they were what they were.
They were what they were.
I hate Episode One.
I think Episode One is definitely the worst out of the three.
Like, honestly, you can literally not watch that movie and not miss anything.
Oh, and you could not watch two. Two makes no sense.
Because that's the deepening of the love between Anakin and Padme.
And killing the sand people.
And the start of Anakin going to the dark side.
Anakin should have started off at 18.
Jake Lloyd was huge error.
yeah, he was. Not to mention that movie just screwed up that kid's life.
Yeah.
Poor kid,
but
he's
much like Shadows, great Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah. Yeah. But whatever, the prequels, they are what they are. They're part of the story. You know what, though? What makes me laugh is, and I can understand this too, and I see it mostly, you know, I was kind of wondering if there was someone that was younger that was going to be here, someone that was introduced to Star Wars with the prequels.
Oh.
Because a lot of, from my observation, and I could be totally wrong here, a lot of people that saw the prequel, were introduced to Star Wars through the prequels, yep. they think the prequels are the better trilogy.
I've never heard anyone say
that. Oh, I see it all.
Really?
Wow. Really? See, I haven't seen that, but what I've noticed is that people here's the dividing line that I've seen. People that have been introduced to it with the prequels, Jedi is their favorite movie. Whereas our demographic, it's Empire.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right, because Jedi, he comes back. But
Jedi, it's the Ewoks.
It's Ewoks, yeah.
Like, that's
– I guess. I never saw any problems with Ewoks. I didn't know that we were supposed to have a problem with Ewoks until the internet came out.
I've always fast-forwarded through the Endor scenes just because they kind of drive me nuts. But I mean, that's because if I'm doing a personal marathon, we should say.
Yeah.
Once I get to Jedi, I'm like, okay, I just need to see the Vader and Luke stuff.
Well, one thing that I see a lot that comes from people that think the prequels are better is that we are looking at the originals through rose-colored glasses.
Sure.
We're not, though.
Because I was 7 and 10.
Well,
that's who watched those movies.
7 and 10, what, during the originals?
In 77 and 1980, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can look at the facts. Ignore the critics, because the critics' opinion, that's just another person's opinion.
Sure.
It don't matter. You know, look at the facts. So, I mean, you look at the Oscars, all the Oscars that the original trilogy was nominated for, 20 Oscars, won eight or nine. The entire prequel trilogy was nominated for 5, won 0.
Well, not only that, but I mean, to me, it's there's technical issues. Like, so you've got 4, 5, and 6 that are out there,
yeah.
And then you go back and you make 1, 2, and 3, and you never really answer the question of, all right, there's all this great technology before A New Hope, but you never really explain why it's not there in A New Hope,
right? Well, I think the answer to that is because when the Empire took over the galaxy, things just went bad.
Yeah.
Well, but we know that.
Yeah.
Because of all the other stuff that we've read and seen and that. But like, right. I mean, if you're sticking with
just the movies,
just watching the movies,
you don't know this. Yeah.
All right. Well, where the hell are all these cool ships? And where was that?
Wait,
R2 has rocket blasters in his feet. Those would have come in handy 37 times during 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. Little oil spritz and Star Trek is the same way, though. Like, the current series Discovery is set 10 years before the original series.
This is
turn off his mic. Turn off his mic.
Get the soap and water. Wash your mouth. Something like that. Star Trek. What the hell is that? But Obi-Wan kind of did say something. He said before the dark times, before the Empire.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't much.
And Rogue Squadron touched on it a little bit where, okay, like that was the first time you really had the introduction of planet/garrison-specific troops and ships and that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, well, if they wiped out that planet and that's the only planet that those troops existed with those uniforms and those ships, all right, fine. Now they're all gone.
Yeah.
But still, yeah.
I gotcha. I think – well, definitely the prequel trilogy definitely had a different tone than and a different look than the original trilogy. I think that's what made the original trilogy so unique is that, you know, usually in science fiction movies, everything looks shiny, it looks brand new.
That used
sparkly.
Empire. Used universe.
It was a used universe in the prequel trilogy. Everything was old and breaking down all the time. And, and that's kind of relatable.
Not amazing, I was going to bring a Flash Gordon reference up.
Well, that's kind of relatable. It kind of made the original trilogy relatable to the real world. I mean, how many times have you gone to your car and it's a beater, you start it up and it's cold, it's just didn't start. You're running late.
Your droid's arm falls off. You figure out how to put it back together.
Give me the Hydra spanner.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Or you stick a tape in a cassette player, and the thing starts eating the tape.
Yeah, give me a pencil.
Well, you talked about the reveal in the you talked about the reveal in the trailers. And one of the things that bothers me a lot is we had some downtime at the soccer tournament. So we said, hey, let's go to Meijer and look at the Star Wars toys. Yeah. And I go, there's like half the characters I've never heard of or seen before.
That are there already. Yep.
That are there already. It's like,
gotta have mountain time for Christmas.
No, I don't. Yeah, but I know it's, I know there's a slippery slope, but like.
They're vague enough though with it. Cause when they released Rey. When they released the Rey figure last year, they made sure not to include the saber, the light, you know, Luke's lightsaber. Yeah, or
they made sure not to include her in the multi-character packs. They,
not to put her on the shelves at all.
And if you bought Monopoly, like you could send away for it because her character was holding a lightsaber.
That was the dumbest marketing
ploy. It was a little,
ever.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
The main character in an action figure on the shelves. They didn't make enough of them because, I don't know, their excuse was she's a female character and female characters don't sell well or something.
Because they
like
didn't
that.
Learn any lessons from Frozen.
Yeah, go to any Comic-Con and count the rays. Yeah. Like,
it's
give me
the,
a break.
It's the new count, it's the new count the Harley Quinn.
Right, yeah, totally, totally.
I wanted to buy a Rey action figure for my niece and I couldn't find one anywhere. I went online. There's
we got plenty.
Like $70 or something.
Yeah, you can get them plenty. I got my now the big ones. Well, yeah. Well, no, during when they came out,
back in 2000, was it 15?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't find them anywhere.
Meijer, nobody shops at Meijer, so for toys at least.
Well, yeah, that's where I found the BB-8. That's where I found all the stuff.
I found the BB-8 and bought it for you.
But you grabbed me one, and I walked in later that day, and I'm like, oh my god, there's like 12.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the new TV ad or the new TV spot that is basically do not let anybody spoil
this?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That's
And
yeah, it just came out yesterday.
Spoiler with her carrying the lightsaber.
Yeah, with her grabbing Kylo Ren. Yeah. But that could be complete bullshit. Yeah.
It could be. It could just be like, oh, she lost her lightsaber and she grabbed that one.
I'm wondering if that's even in the flick.
They got their Schwartz's.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Yeah. Good point. Like,
she's just
like
grabbing
a
weapon.
Fighter scene in Rogue One.
So do you think, does anyone think Finn's going to have Jedi lineage?
Nice. Lando, Leia, yeah.
No, because,
Han told Lando to take care of her.
Enough. No, because someone
has 45, I got this.
Someone has to explain, though, how he sat in a lightsaber battle and didn't die in 3 seconds. Like, to me, that's pretty egregious.
He damn near did.
Yeah, I think
he blocked a couple thrusts and then took a swipe up the spine.
Well, that was after Kylo had gotten hammered a few times.
He was damn near mortally wounded.
With the bowcaster,
I did hear how the movie's going to open, and I don't know if you want me to say it or not.
No.
Don't. All right. No. I won't.
I won't talk about
not a big deal, but it's just murder. I won't talk about it
in the parking lot.
There's enough snow out there.
Yep.
What about Kylo's scar? Does that bother anybody?
They moved it.
Yeah.
They moved it, and I was expecting
it. How did you know that they moved it?
It was up his nose.
It was straight up and down.
Oh. So,
Shit, that's too Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah, Ryan Johnson or whatever, they moved it over. Really? And then we see in shots where it looks like he has a piece of, he has like a Band-Aid over it.
What's that blue thing, that metallic looking thing that's on his cheek or something?
Yeah. That's his Band-Aid. He has like some kind of like carbon fiber Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Like I expected.
No, but it's like running over here.
So. Yeah. It's not down as much.
Band-Aid technology is not advanced since like the 1920s. I'm not, carbon fiber is like.
It's all flesh colored.
Right. Yeah. But no, I was expecting him to be somewhat disfigured or then he would truly require some type of mask.
Yeah.
You know, he's slowly becoming this Vader.
Why did
type.
He need a mask?
Yeah, that's
because he just wanted
question.
To be his old, his
yeah,
old,
be
old man. He wanted to be Vader.
Yeah,
that's the only reason.
Because Papa wore one.
Well, yeah.
Right. See, now, like Jason, I understand he's disfigured. He looks like for Goonies, it looks like a what's his face?
Sloth.
Thank you. But like baby. Kylo Ren. Yeah. But Kylo Ren, he's an emo. He's trying to pick up Rey. Like, hey, what's up?
So there was the rumor that Hayden Christensen would be back as Darth Vader for
there
this movie.
There has been that because he started showing up at he was
set,
at that Celebration too.
Oh, was it?
No. I'm sorry. I'm still angry they swapped him in at the end of the special edition.
Yeah, I didn't care much for that either. But
I have no reason to do that. No, there's no reason.
Sebastian Shaw was perfectly fine in that scene.
You tell me the reason, because there's no reason.
And you know what? They didn't even replace the entire body. They just replaced the head.
Right. Yeah. It was like Poltergeist. You didn't move the tombstones. You just switched it.
just replace it. Because he's wearing the same.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't make sense because in life, when he was alive, he never wore that outfit.
Yeah, no, nope. he had that cool kind of slick Jedi outfit. You know. No, I mean, the whole thought is that Anakin Skywalker died or did not exist from the moment that he became
it.
Darth Vader.
Sure.
So the Sebastian Shaw
but
Anakin never
himself and came back with the killing of the Emperor.
You know, I'm Switzerland on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I got you.
I get you.
Why wouldn't they make him like bald with missing all his limbs?
Here's what
right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly.
And you put him on the floor and you call him Matt.
Well, what does that do to the value of my Kenner Anakin Skywalker action figure?
I got one still in the little mailer box, man.
The clear one?
It was the mail away.
Yeah. It's kind of all gray.
It wasn't clear. No, it was.
No, you're talking about the ghost figures.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Well, it was a ghost figure, obviously, but it wasn't clear. It was like
shades
like
of gray.
Bluish.
Yeah.
You know, I still got it. It's in my bedroom somewhere. So I got it. No, actually, somewhere. I know exactly where it's at.
However, if we see a Ewan McGregor glowy, I will be so happy.
Well, obviously, they can't get Alec Guinness unless they CGI him.
No, just use. Ewan McGregor is perfect.
He
now.
Was so spot
yeah,
on.
Yeah, more Qui-Gon. Please. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Qui-Gon. What I don't understand. Why would they change?
I have a specific set of Jedi skills.
Superior original trilogy. Why did they change the superior original trilogy to match the inferior prequel trilogy?
In terms, oh, I see.
The special editions.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I was.
See, honestly, I think the special editions were a trial balloon.
What do you mean?
Will people come back to the theaters for Star Wars?
There were money grab to pay for that first one.
Well, and that's the thing. Because, I mean, that was, what, 97?
Yep.
20 years ago.
And then,
And they made the special edition. They threw them in the theater.
I just watched the TNT.
Money, episode one.
I just watched the TNT this weekend, you know, when I had some downtime.
Yeah.
And that Jabba the Hutt scene. The CGI over the guy, the big Russian guy that was supposed to be Jabba.
Oh, the big Irish dude,
He was never supposed to be Jabba. They were always
going to do a stop motion.
Stop motion creature.
Whatever that guy was that they superimposed, they edited that scene with Han Solo in the hangar.
In the comic book, the original Star Wars comic book.
It was a guy.
He was human.
He kind of looked.
I thought the Hutts were like
supposed to be like the barbarian, like the big like.
The original cut was a dude.
It was intended to be some type of stop motion over that.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. That's why they just cut it because they were so hard pressed on what they were already doing.
The money. They were over budget.
They just couldn't figure that one out. They're like, you know what? We can live without this.
Yeah.
But in the comic book, he was kind of this cross between, and I'm going to use this term, and I know you're going to hate me for it, Walrus Man. Okay, Fonda Bhava.
Yep,
and he had like yak face.
He doesn't like you
face.
Either. Yeah. Right.
But that's who was in
dead.
The comic book.
Yeah,
in
it's
77.
Been a while since I've seen the comic adaptation. You're talking about the original.
Yeah, the original Marvel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
so many.
I just want a Splinter of the Mind's Eye movie. That's all I want.
Sure. Oh, you know what I found out today that I never knew this. I never realized this. I just found this out today, and I bet you there's going to be listeners out there that are going to be like, what, you just found that out today? I've known that for years. The song at the end of the music at the end of The Phantom Menace when they're getting their, you know, the parade is the Emperor's theme song.
Yeah.
Except for it's more upbeat.
It's more, they up the tempo.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. It's the Emperor's theme. And it's sung by children instead of, you know, men. It's the same song.
And is that because Palpatine's coming off the ship?
Well, he's the Phantom Menace. No, he wasn't. He was up on the stage.
Right. Yeah. And they're showing like that whole parade and he's coming off the ship and then they do the stands where they hand off the glowy ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how it was done already at the end of A New Hope, the award ceremony.
Right, they got to have one
for all the people that are saying that The Force Awakens is like A New Hope.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I just bring back the original Yub Yub song. That's all I want.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah, me too.
Hey, I want the original Snai Snoodles song.
I like that song better than the new one, but
with the puppet version of Snai.
Yeah, you know what the funny thing is? To me, the special. I'm not trying to knock the special editions. They did their job and they did what they did, but to me, the special editions make the original trilogy look dated with the special effects. I mean, it's obviously 90s special effects.
Yeah, late into 70s and early
80s. But they did, like, the scene that they ruined the most on that was the Mos Eisley scene.
I mean, just the Han and Greedo.
Not the Han and Greedo, but prior to
that. Cantina?
No, prior to the cantina when they're riding in the land speeder. Then they added all the little creatures and the walking in front.
I don't mind that.
No, at least they had one or two, but like they went way over. I don't know. Yeah. I might be a nitpicky. I don't know.
Yeah, they had the Jawas falling off that creature.
Yeah, that was way too fake.
Yeah,
that was way too fake looking.
Yeah, well, I mean, even the bat, they showed the back end of the land speeder, and it was clearly just, it was so, architecture, just very jagged.
It didn't belong there.
The only problem I have with the special edition of A New Hope was the Greedo and Han scene.
They really tried to correct it. It's like, just go back to the original.
Leave it alone. Yeah. Just put it back.
Just,
Han's supposed to be a scoundrel.
Sell more t-shirts this way, though.
That argument's been going on, though, for 20 years now, that debate. Who shot first? Well, Greedo shot first. That's how it is now. That's not how it was before, but that's how it is now.
By the time Jedi came out, Lucas had kids, so everything became geared towards his kids.
Yeah.
The Ewoks, okay, now I need to clean up this Han Solo scene. Mm-hmm. I don't want my kids seeing that. The original or the prequel trilogy.
I'll be honest, though. Lucas gets a bad rap. I mean, this guy created...
Oh, look what he... No.
This guy created a religion.
Yeah, pretty much.
About robots and beep-boop-beeps.
Oh. And the fans and chastise the guy.
And for anyone to say... For us talking about how bad the the 90s, look what we're doing. Look what we're doing. This is the greatest movie
franchise
ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
arguably.
I think it's the third most successful or something like that.
But still, like in our lifetimes, there's nothing that's had more fanfare. Right. Look at the just what spawned from it. They spawned a religion.
I can't remember.
And here we are going.
Literally spawned a religion.
Right.
Yeah.
Sucks.
You don't know how true that actually is. I can't remember some country in the
New Zealand.
Was it New Zealand?
It's New Zealand where Jedi is actually a religion.
Really?
Enough people wrote it in as their religion, they had to recognize it as an official
religion.
Can
we get tax-free status if we call it?
during their census, one of their censuses, however many years ago, they so many people under religion. So many people checkmarked other and filled in Jedi that they had to actually put it on their pie chart.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Why did I never think of this?
Now, what can they do anything to make people go, sucks? Because I remember, a few guys would walked out at 7. They're like, I hated it.
Bringing Jar Jar back. Easy.
No, you know better. Everyone knows better than that.
Do that. I know. They won't do that.
And the Porg's going to be so out there, it's going to ruin the movie. I doubt it.
I doubt it.
They'll either be the new, Ewok.
It's the new
Ewok. I know Dave's going to walk out and he's going to go, meh. I $1,000 I got in the envelope right now. It says he goes, meh.
Okay, episode 7 deserved it.
No, you've been doing that for since I've been going to the whole trilogy.
No, 1, I did it.
No, you didn't at 3.
2, 3, I did not. Because, I thought 3 was solid.
Yeah, 3 was good.
7 deserved it. Rogue Squadron.
Rogue One.
Rogue One, I had enough of a – like I said, when I took my kids to it, the opening of the movie, they're like, how can this be Star Wars without Star Wars in
the
opening?
Crawl?
I mean, it's very Black Hawk Down-ish, and that's cool.
Yeah. I was okay with it.
But
I like that.
I told Rick today, we were chatting on Facebook, and I go, man, you could have the cast – playing cards
for
2 hours.
Yeah.
I'd walk out and I go, that was pretty freaking cool.
Opening Rogue One made me appreciate 7 more.
Yeah, Rogue One.
We've had that talk.
Rogue One did a good day. I thought they did a great job with that.
Yeah, Rogue One was good, but it was a different kind of Star Wars movie. It was more of a war film
which is great.
I think
it was a Dirty Dozen. That's really what it was.
Yeah, I think it definitely appealed more to the older Star Wars fan base.
Well, it was targeted
at
all of us that have been 40 years going
to make us shut up.
Who the hell puts a hole in a Death Star?
I like that explanation too. The way the reason why it was done like that. That was cool.
And they did the one thing I never thought that they'd do was kill everybody.
Yeah.
Like they built up all of these characters that could have been
action figures and franchises forever.
Mm-hmm. I like how the YouTube cartoon with how Rogue One should have ended. It was like the ship pulls up. It was like, hey, come on, guys, when they were hugging each other on the beach. Like, why couldn't they just do that?
Well, they kind of – I think it was kind of like a no-brainer that they were going to kill them all off because none of them are in any of the any of the other movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of had to because you don't – because it's right before Episode 4.
Yeah.
And they're not there.
I realize I probably, we've heard this a million times, but the giving us pissed off Darth Vader again, we hadn't seen pissed off Darth Vader since really the start of Star Wars. You know, it just, it's always Star Wars to me. New Hope.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that pissed off Vader at the end. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, they closed the one plot hole with the porthole, and then they opened another one with why Darth Vader just didn't pull the hard drive with the Force.
Wait, what plot hole?
The plot hole with this.
Why there was an exhaust port.
The hole of the reactor.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't really a plot hole.
Well, everyone argued, why would they leave such a
Why would they leave it out in the open like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you could give the argument that the Empire's obviously got a lot of they've got a lot of arrogance to them. And they felt that their defenses were strong enough that, actually, General LaDonna said it at the end of A New Hope. He said they don't think this is a threat, otherwise they would have a tighter defense.
Mm-hmm. But then why didn't Vader, in the hallway, when he ripped all the guns out, why didn't he rip the hard drive out?
He didn't know it was there. It was just a disc. It was just a disc.
Yeah, he didn't know what was on it.
He didn't know that
that's
guy
what he was looking for though.
What they're looking for.
Right.
He was the plans were.
What do you think it was, Excel documents?
The plans were uploaded. They were nobody handed a disc to that ship. Right. The guy put it on a disc because they were about to hop in the escape ship and take off. All of Vader's troops were on the main ship.
No. Drive they pulled out of the thing.
That was the release shaft.
Yeah, the release thing.
Yeah. All he had was like a friggin' mini disc. Yeah. They saw it upload to that mini disc. Right. He's got it in his hand.
It was an LTO drive, Rick.
Whatever.
But he knows all things.
He doesn't know all things. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. His daughter's on the ship, and he doesn't. Why doesn't he go? Hey, my daughter's on the ship. He doesn't know.
He didn't know he had a daughter. Yeah.
Because he didn't know that was because he didn't know he built a droid. Didn't know he had a daughter.
I'm just saying.
He didn't know he had.
So
a
all of his troops.
They told him the kids were dead.
All of his troops are on the main ship, trying to figure out. Okay, they beam this thing. They're tearing apart the systems on that. He's walking down a shaft. Down a hallway. Sees a bunch of dudes. Rebel troops and gets a sense that, okay, there's panic down here. I'm going to go mess these dudes up.
Right.
See, the fact that we're arguing about this tells you everything you need to know about Star Wars. Like, what other movie? Like, why didn't you do that? Like, because, man, everybody's explaining like their own way they see it.
Didn't you watch it? Well, it's like I said, my whole thing is the biggest plot hole that it introduced for me was that R2 and 3PO are on the planet as the Tantive is already up in battle.
No, what planet?
At the end of Rogue One.
At the end of Rogue at no. Rogue One. They're still on Yavin.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. What happened?
No. I've watched it 4 times now just to have this argument with him.
You got to watch it a 5th time then.
That was way in advance, though.
No, they say
that Rekon is up. He's up with the Tantive up in space. They even say that right as they're there.
No, hold on a second now. At the end of Rogue One, when you see that scene where you see that shot of C-3PO and R2 in the base.
On the flight deck.
Right, and he said, Scarif, why are we going to Scarif now? C-3PO said that.
Why are they going to Scarif?
Right. But that wasn't Leia and them. I gotta
look this up.
Start of Episode 4, they're on the Tantive.
Mm-hmm.
End of Rogue Squadron. Yeah. Tantive's in space. So Vader's ripping shit up, and they're gonna make a quick pit stop to pick up the two droids.
Dude, that's 3 minutes later
in movie time.
Right?
Was it 3 minutes?
Probably 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
They released the Tantive, and that's the other part. The Tantive is in another ship.
Yeah.
So it's not like there was a whole lot of room for this nonsense to go.
Dude's listening to the movie right now.
Right, he totally is.
He's like, man, I'm trying not to say F-word.
He's pulled up the last scene in Rogue One.
He's totally listening to it right now.
Again, this is why this all works.
It must be a Dave thing. If I do something to Dave and he'll like zone out, he'll go grab his phone. You won't have him on the podcast for 15 minutes. Yeah. Then he'll answer it like he's all excited. And this is why you're wrong.
Oh, you're right.
See, why are they going to scare? So that's the thing. So they're still on the flight deck. Ships up in space that they're on 5 minutes later.
Well,
you don't know.
They might have just said, hey, we're all going, except the guy in the friggin' turret out there.
But they specifically say the ship's engaged in battle up there. It specifically said that that's what's going on.
The ship's being all the X-Wings and Y-Wings that went out
there. The ship, I forget the name, but the ship that the Tantive is hiding in.
The Profundity.
They mentioned that that's already engaged in battle.
From Under?
Profundity.
They mentioned this
From Under.
While they're on the flight deck. That's part of that whole conversation. Yeah.
All this tells me is we need another movie to fix this plot hole.
See, it is.
You know what we need? We need
it's like a 5 minute short in between.
It'll be another, a comic series.
We need another special edition for them to fix. There's one thing in the special. There's one thing in A New Hope that I don't understand why they didn't fix it in the special editions.
The Stormtrooper bonk in his head.
That's
great.
Stormtrooper with sneakers.
The graphic of the Death Star. If you noticed, it's got the laser dish on the equator.
Right.
Yeah.
Center.
But and the reason why it's on the equator is because the guy that created that graphic, that's the designs that he saw.
Yeah.
And then they changed it after, you know, they changed it and didn't tell this guy that, hey, we're not going to have it on the equator anymore. So why, when they did the special editions, why didn't they change that one thing? I mean, he figured in 97 that would probably, or 96 when they did the movies, the special editions, you would figure that would be an easy fix.
Yeah. That would have been a quick render of life's good.
When he changed it again for the VHS
or
the
DVD. I want to say in Rogue One.
And then when they changed it again for the Blu-ray.
Yep.
In Rogue One, when she was up there, she's uploading the files via that dish that then she had to go out for some reason and repoint the thing. That bugged me. Like, why would you have to even do that? Why wouldn't those controls be right next to the
It's like 1970s TV. Like, Bobby, turn the antenna so we can pick up channel 56.
Now, don't move.
Right.
Now, hold it.
Hold it.
But I want to say the graphic in that was red with a white background, but was that same thing. Because I've often seen that, and I'm just – my thought is that – computer graphics back in 1977 were a pain, and everything had to line up.
It looked like Atari.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You couldn't have something off center.
Right. I guess so. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. But you're right. They could have easily fixed that because it didn't work.
Going back to, finishing up Last Jedi, everything I'm seeing, hearing, knowing that they're following the Mumberberry's plot, that this is going to be a dark film, it's going to end with a semi dark ending
with a giant
mark.
Yeah, I said this after the first. You know, I feel like the formula for all Star Wars movies moving forward now is, and it'll be interesting to see if this follows suit. Is the first 10 minutes of member berries, and then an hour or so of some sort of plot that they want you to buy into, and whatever the formula of the film is going to be. Look how witty our writers are. There'll be a little bit of that. You know, look at a little more member berries as you go, and then the last 5 minutes will be the giant member berry reveal. You know, so I mean, it was it'll be. I'm curious to see who that's going to be this time.
Who's losing a limb?
So I mean, it was Leia at the end of Rogue One.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
At the end of 7, it was. Why am I blanking?
Luke on the.
It was Luke. Yeah. Luke. Okay, so there's your big member berry, and then at the end of Rogue One,
Han Solo's
Leia.
Death.
Yeah. And then who's going to be?
What's the big slap?
Yeah.
Lando shows up.
No, I don't know. Abrams said, or Lucasfilm, or Disney, or whoever said that Lando's story is not done being told. Whether that means he'll be back in Episode 9, I don't know. It could just have been
or
them
a
talking
one-off.
About.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been them talking about the Han Solo.
Yeah, I think they're talking Han Solo.
Yeah.
Right?
This was a couple years ago when they brought that up. When I read this, Which I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I
Everyone's upset because of the casting. I mean, who are they casting?
It's so hard to
Everyone's upset about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they can cast Han Solo like they did Obi-Wan, then they'll
here's a new Han
got to nail it.
Here's a new Han Solo movie, and you get a free pizza and a big jug of beer at entrance. You know, I don't like this kind of beer, and the pizza.
The free beer wasn't cold
enough. Pizza
was just mushrooms. Yeah.
It's like it's like this. Okay, I brought this up in a couple other groups that I'm in. You remember when it was first announced? We didn't even see a picture, an image, a trailer, or nothing. But when it was first announced that Heath Ledger was going to play the Joker, and how everyone was all
people lost their minds.
We were insane about it.
Everyone was like, "This movie's going to suck," and this and that, blah blah blah. This is such a terrible cast. There's no way he can live up to what Jack Nicholson did, and blah blah blah.
And Barry Jack Nicholson.
What's that?
In my opinion.
He did. Well,
probably one of the quintessential best villains in the history of film.
That's my point, though. Everyone back then thought that it was such a terrible casting call. Right. But then when we saw a trailer for it, everyone changed their tune. And when the movie came out, everyone really changed.
It was like, he's dead?
Yeah, now we don't get to see him in the next movie. And the guy ended up winning a posthumous Academy Award for it.
Hmm.
You know?
All right, so the moral of the story, the big question. So when are you going to see it?
Thursday, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next to him.
Yeah.
Thursday we'll twice.
Yeah, actually, I'm seeing it at 10:30 as well. Yeah.
Dave, when are you going?
Thursday at 7.
Thursday twice.
There we go.
Awesome.
Probably running into you again, Bob, don't want I?
Yeah, for the second one.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got tickets.
We're going to see it already. We had a corporate viewing earlier.
Oh, wait, you didn't invite me? Jerk, asshole. This guy?
It wasn't my party.
I could have done a speed painting there.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Actually, I did when I
– You might be able to sneak in if you want to go.
I think I do have a pending plus one.
I went out west back in August, I had planned on doing this. You know, I drove through the desert and
– On a horse with no name.
What's that?
On a horse with no name.
Well, I went in the desert, and I was in Monument Valley, and I planned on this. I did a speed painting of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. Mm. I wanted to try to get the Tatooine background, but
the
sand is just a little bit too red, so it was more like I was on Geonosis or something. And I did a video. The guy that was filming the video, he dropped the camera. The wind was a little bit strong, so I lost about 30 seconds there. But I still, I just kind of patched it together. Mark Hamill saw it, and I've performed with a lot of celebrities and met with a lot of them. And you know what? I've never geeked out. But when I saw that he liked that video,
I just crumbled and cried.
But hey, we're going to wrap things up for episode 226. I'd like to thank our guest, Dave Santia. You can find him online at, where do we find you online?
DaveSantia.com.
DaveSantia.com, you're a speed painter extraordinaire. I own your Flash Gordon painting in my basement that's signed by Flash Gordon that was painted in front of Flash Gordon, one of my prized possessions. But hey, and then also Jay and Rick, you can find them on Booking Pop Culture, anywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Yep.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, Orbi and Zelpay. Please check them out online. We appreciate the support and keeping the lights on. On behalf of Bob and Dave and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you soon. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth!
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the trees.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.